Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, February 7th, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined as always by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning, Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
Boys, what's up?
That is the foursome. We got a lot going on the show today. Barry Trotz will join us, coming off that win last night against Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Road
Coach
win.
Coach of the Capitals will join us at 8 o'clock. Talk to Andrew Sharp. Covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated coming up at 8:40. The trade deadline in the NBA is tomorrow, and the Wizards apparently are dangling Marcin Gortat and involved in other rumors, so we'll talk to Andrew Sharp about that. Mm. And I believe we have a big announcement later in the show from Johnny Grooms, who's the director of poker at MGM National Harbor.
Wonder what that could be about.
I wonder if that involves one Johnny Cakes Allville.
It might.
We'll
might
talk to Johnny Grooms about that.
Also need to mention that in, let me do my math, about 13 hours, the Cards will be in the air at MGM National Harbor for the first
You
of
got
many,
tournament.
Hopefully, Cakes Classics Bounty Tournament. Come out, it's a $300 buy-in. If you knock your boy Flakes out, you get $300.
Is it actually called the Cakes Classic?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's on their poker calendar. I get a little bit sized.
Nice.
So you'll be playing Cards tonight at 7 o'clock?
I will, yes.
And if you do well, you'll be playing well into the night.
Now, I don't know how many people will be in the field. I don't know how long it will last. I mean, if I play past a certain point, I'm considering just driving here and crashing on the
couch.
Yeah, because like say I'm at MGM until midnight. Does it really make sense for me to drive home and then drive back here when I'm
just get a room?
I'm
you're
10
there.
Minutes away from
here. I was going to say,
why would you just get a room after you're there?
I could do that if it's the right price, as in full on hook job.
Well, that's what the price should be.
Well, we'll see how that works out.
Because where are you going to sleep here?
On that, I mean, there's Nubs a Nubs couch in there.
It'll fall be a terrible before. Night's sleep.
I mean,
it'll
I could, yeah, but night. He's talking about a few hours anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I could just scrunch up in the fetal position and do it.
Mm-hmm. My sleep tracker said I slept an hour and 49 minutes two nights ago.
Oh.
So that was in my own bed.
Yes.
So
have those
hurts.
Glasses. The magic is done.
I'm wearing the glasses. That was it. It tracked me starting
is
at like midnight.
Is that a fad, just like Buttcoin is, those glasses?
Of course. I mean, I wear them every night. So
yeah, but you only got $1.49, you said?
It's called a placebo.
2 hours ago.
Like the first couple nights it helped,
but getting,
you're
could be.
Positive thinking about it.
Getting back to the most important point, the poker that we were talking about, I'll probably get run down by somebody by 9:30 if
and
it starts at 7,
home.
And then I can just go home.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll
you,
see how things work out.
Let me ask you this. Are you hoping for that?
No, I'm not really hoping for it. I want to stack some chips.
Okay.
I want to scoop some bounties myself if I can do that. So that's tonight at 7 p.m. If you can make it out to MGM, love to see you there.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people will.
As always, you want to get in touch
with
us.
To hang out with Cakes?
Yeah, throughout
please.
The show, you can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us at Junks Radio. Got a lot of tweets this morning. I went to bed early again, two nights in a row before 9.
That's solid.
That is a solid week. I know it won't last because we've been doing the show in the mornings for 15-plus years, and I've never been a Jason Bishop and consistent and disciplined to go to bed early, but I've done it two nights in a row.
I had a real
chance. I watched
chance.
The first quarter of the Wizards, and they were down by 17.
Yeah.
I was like, no real reason to hang on to this one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Joel Embiid's going to tear him up.
And he did.
But I woke up to all these tweets at Junks Radio about Josh McDaniels, because on Monday I was saying how excited I was because the guys in New England are so wide open. The scheme is fantastic, and Josh McDaniels is going to be able to work with Andrew Luck, and I'm a Colts fan. Well,
now he's spurned them
and has decided to stay in New England.
It's crazy.
After agreeing 3 weeks ago to terms with the Colts to become their next coach, after hiring multiple members of his coaching staff arranging to fly Wednesday morning from Boston to Indianapolis on Jim Irsay's jet, he's backed out.
Well, I mean, if Bob Kraft comes to you and say, hey,
right.
Bill's probably not going to be here much longer.
Yep.
You're the guy.
And we're going to sweeten your present deal.
Let's think twice about
right.
this. And we'll sweeten your deal, and then you'll be the guy. You'll probably have Brady for a couple years.
You have a seamless transition.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's how weird is that? The Colts had the press conference
all
set up.
If I'm McDaniels, of course I would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with the cloud of uncertainty hanging over Andrew Luck. It sounds like he may need possibly more surgery. I mean, I would be scared to death of going into that
situation.
Are
they saying that right now?
Yes.
That's what they're saying like in the last 24
hours?
He still
has pain in his shoulder.
That's could be a factor.
That's a real bad deal.
Of course, if you're McDaniels, the franchise quarterback, there's questions around him. Of course you would think twice about it.
Andrew Luck may never, ever be the same player again. So, but again, I think it's more Kraft saying, you're my guy.
Right.
You're familiar with the situation. You got Brady. You got a lot of talent here. You know, when Bill
guys have backed out. It happens. Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star, we've had on the show several times. I always love having him on the show. He's funny. Absolutely.
Is he bitter?
Slaughters Josh McDaniel. Yeah. I know he doesn't write the headline, but
the headline is
Greg Doyle.
Yeah,
the headline is Josh McDaniels is a selfish little jerk, but did the Colts Indy a favor. He starts off, be embarrassed, Indianapolis Colts, but also be relieved. Josh McDaniels is a punk and a loser, but he's not your punk. He's not your loser. He's not your head coach. Thank God. He goes on to say he's one of the biggest frauds in the NFL. He confirmed it Tuesday night.
Mm.
Later on, he writes, the ultimate daddy's boy, born on third base and believing he hit a triple, thinks he's too good to coach the Colts.
That's the
he's
Bruce Allen
crushing him.
Handed his first coaching job when daddy, a big-time high school coach in Ohio, called Nick Saban to get Josh onto Saban's staff at Michigan State. McDaniels has never been big in his self-awareness. Hurricane Josh, they called him in Denver. When he blew into town in 2009 as coach of the Broncos and carried himself with the gravitas of a Super Bowl winner, which Bill Belichick was, and not as a rookie coach who hadn't done anything on his own, which is what Josh McDaniels was in 2009. It's what he is today, too.
Yeah. People aren't happy.
Just crushes him.
I'm sure there are other factors, but I think that's the main factor.
Well, I read something which outlined three reasons why McDaniels decided to stay. Obviously, he gets more money. And sometimes you discount it, but sometimes I do take a guy at his word where, look, he's had 3 weeks to think about it. He has a family. Apparently, he has four kids. And I get it. He's moved around before, but apparently there was some hesitancy to move them again. And as your kids get older, like when they're young and they're not in middle school, high school yet, I don't know exact ages of the kids, I can see it being easier to move your kid. When your kid's 4, 5, they don't know the difference. Easy to make friends. But once they're in high school and they have their set of friends, it's crushing to move your kid.
Yeah, but I can see that being a factor, but he had already thought about that. I mean, he was going to fly to Indianapolis for the press conference.
Might not have thought of it that much.
Yeah. You don't think he thought of that?
Maybe a little bit, but you have more time to sit on it. Your kids start whining. Why do we have to move, Dad?
I can see it being a factor. I'd bring a copy of the contract with the final numbers in the bottom and say, this is why we're packing up and moving. You're going to find a new set of friends in Indianapolis.
Yeah, but you know, you don't want to break your kids' hearts.
True. But you also want to climb the ladder and become a head coach at some point.
Yeah.
He's done it before. And he's probably going to be, land in a good spot here in New England. He's probably going to be anointed the head coach when Belichick leaves. It's going to work out for him.
JP, every coach has to deal with family and kids not wanting to move. But they don't turn down head coaching jobs for it.
It's rare, but he may think, based on his resume, that he'll get a head coaching job eventually, and it might be in New England.
Right. Well, he's not going to get it from anywhere else after he turned down the Colts. I don't think anybody's going to trust him.
I know people say that, but I don't know what will happen 3 or 4 years from now. And I don't know. I'm not convinced that Belichick's just leaving, but maybe he is. Maybe he's all done. Maybe he's got one more run in him, and that's it. I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it.
Reports are that he has not been assured he'll succeed Bill Belichick as the Patriots coach. You can't assure somebody, by the way, that'd be a violation of the Rooney rules.
please.
I'm just saying.
Are you kidding? That happens all the time in NFL front offices. The Rooney rule. I'm sure they stick hard and fast to that.
Look, does anybody think that Josh McDaniels is the next, silly coach? I certainly didn't think so. He didn't do anything in Denver. No reason to think he was going to be some beast this go-around. The only reason why I thought he might be successful is because of Luck. And Cakes is pointing me to there's still stories out there that Luck's not right still.
Yeah.
May have to.
Well, that could be another factor, too.
Yeah.
For McDaniels.
Yeah.
I have no idea how good a head coach he'll be, but I think he's a damn good OC.
I guess. I'd be a good OC for Tom Brady.
Yeah,
the former Belichick assistants didn't fare well. Romary Crennel, who was defensive coordinator, and Charlie Weiss, offensive coordinator. They didn't exactly tear the NFL apart, or even college football, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. The Colts are going to be floundering. Their key is they need luck.
Yeah,
to get
what
healthy.
Do they do now?
I don't know.
I mean, all these guys that they probably looked at, they have jobs.
I read four names this morning. The one which jumped out at me, which is not inspiring, but if you actually look at his record in the NFL of late, is not bad, is bringing Jim Caldwell back.
Actually, had a decent record the last couple years.
Coached the Colts when Peyton was there. Took him to a Super Bowl, and then coached the Lions.
I think you keep you respectable, obviously.
It's not inspiring, but... No.
He'll keep you respectable. Man, if you're the Colts, too, what do, man? Do you draft a quarterback just as insurance?
I would think you have to at least think about it in the middle, you know? In the middle rounds, at least, if not higher.
Yeah.
Well, they have Brissett.
I mean, he's okay.
Yeah.
I guess he's a decent backup
plan. Yeah, he played pretty well for him.
And Brissett, I think, was...
And he's young. That's what he has going for him. Third or fourth, I want to say.
Yeah, so I think they have a young guy in place. It's not great, but...
Man, that Andrew Luck thing, that's just so dicey. I didn't realize the shoulder was still banged up. I thought he was going to be ready to go for next year.
Well, it seemed like he was over a hurdle, and they'd kind of cleared him, and they'd already decided that he wasn't going to need that extra surgery. But now they're saying there's some doctors that think, no, he is going to ultimately need another procedure.
Ugh.
And
was that a labrum?
I thought it was a torn labrum. Man. I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, I think he had the labral surgery last January.
Been a long
time. So it's
been
13 months.
Yeah. That's no joke surgery. I don't know. One thing I did see is that Malcolm Butler issued his statement. I think you guys all saw that, right? Mm-hmm. He put it on his Instagram or whatever. And, you know, he's denying shenanigans. Who knows? I mean, it's going to be a free agent. But I did find it interesting. Somebody pointed it out to me. It's kind of like the statement I've been waiting for Kirk Cousins. You know?
Right.
He didn't wait until March 14th or whatever until he's officially, you know, released or whatever is going to happen with him. He thanked the fans. He thanked the organization. All I see Cousins do is another endorsement. And another,
but
you know
I heard
I mean?
Him in the endorsement thank the fans for 6 years.
Endorsements, clap them up.
I didn't hear that. I'm sure he has, but I'd like to see a more formal thing. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy just skipping out of town happier. Than that guy.
Yeah.
He is really rubbing
Smith
me the wrong
either.
Way.
He said he wanted
Have you heard
out.
Alex Smith talk about it?
No.
I don't know Alex.
Because it's not official yet. It's
that's
all
his deal.
Still.
Yeah, but Malcolm Butler's not official, but he said made his goodbyes.
Well, he's a free agent, not part
yeah,
of a trade.
He's a pending free agent.
Like, these guys might think the trade might fall through, and then I might end up where I am.
I guess. You never know with the Redskins and all this talk.
I mean, Malcolm Butler knows he's
him.
Gone.
Malcolm Butler knows he's gone. We all know Kirk Cousins, at the end of the day, not going to be here. I don't know. I just find it interesting. That guy seems distraught. Not at all. Just not at all.
I don't
all.
Think he is.
Nope.
I mean, you're not surprised.
To be a free agent.
You're not surprised and not upset about
it. I would just think he would be a little bit more, I don't know, fake it a little more for the fans. For those of us that stood by him and cheered him on for 6 years.
Well, you had,
I feel
that, one.
No,
you had that one.
You feel
brief
a little
comment.
Jilted.
A little. Yeah, I said it from the beginning. A little bit jilted.
You feel bad because you were a supporter for so many years, and he kind of...
Yeah, damn right. I stood
kind of
by
slapped
him.
You in the face.
Yeah, stood by him for 6 years, defended him, even after his poop games.
Well, not the first year. The first year, he was not even talked
no, right.
about
okay,
at all.
Okay, let's look at the last four
the
years.
As three
a,
year?
Right, but
second
as a
year,
starter,
we started talking about him a little bit.
No, but as a starter throughout his rise, a lot of us stood by him and pumped him up, and I don't know. I just feel like he kind of... Just turned his back on the fans a little bit. And it's a, you know, why do I care? He's got a life. I got a life. But it's just, it's interesting. It's interesting how
I
it turned on
him. I think eventually he'll talk about it more.
I think eventually he will.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's not legit.
But yet. I'm more convinced than ever that he's a disingenuous guy.
Now you hate him.
I don't hate him, but I mean, just a big phony.
Is he a selfish little jerk, as Greg Doyle calls Josh McDaniels?
No, but he's a big phony.
I love the last couple of lines here. Greg writes, "For now, the reality is the Colts have no coach, a quarterback whose health is unknown, and a front office who thought hiring Josh McDaniels was a good idea. The Colts will wake up Wednesday morning a mess and a punchline, but it could have been so much worse. They could have woken up Thursday with Josh McDaniels as coach."
No, we should do. We should bet against,
just crush.
Bet against killing, the Colts season wins next year.
Was he killing the hire before this announcement? Or
no
I'd
idea.
Like to see that.
I read probably in the comments driving. That he was jocking it.
Oh, really?
Because people were clowning
so
on him.
So he's like me. He's feeling jilted.
Yeah.
He's feeling jilted.
Yeah, because he supported him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's normal. It's a normal feeling.
a lot of NFL reporters are saying this is a clear sign that the NFL has to change the rule where you can't announce a coach until after the Super Bowl, because that's why this happened. If he signed the contract and got it done, then he couldn't have backed out.
What happened?
Be harder. Of course he could back out if he wanted.
I mean, he was on his way to signing that deal.
So anyway, big news there. Josh McDaniels has now turned down the Colts, will remain as the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. Coming up next, we'll open up the Junkie Sports page, a split for the locals. The Caps break their losing streak and win last night. And the Wizards, their winning streak is broken as they lose to the 76ers. We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Watch. Remember, Coach Barry Trotz, head coach of the Washington Capitals, joins us at 8 o'clock. Right now, we're going to dive into the Junkie Sports page.
Lots to get in with the Wiz here, front and center. First off, losers to the Sixers last night by 13. Back-to-back game, traveling from another city.
Didn't you call this one, Cakes, or no?
I said it's a good spot to bet against the Wiz.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they just played against the Pacers.
You know,
they're flying against the Sixers.
There were 7-point dogs last night.
Yeah.
Actually bet it up to 8.5. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to win that. I was pretty comfortable. I didn't think they would win, but I thought 8.5 points was enough. Wasn't.
Sixers been floating around 500, but they got J.J. Redick back. J.J. Redick hit 4 out of 5 threes. You look at the three-pointers. J.J. Redick, 4 for 5 from beyond the arc. Joel Embiid, the center, who scored 30, 3 for 7 from beyond the arc. Covington hit 2. Dario Saric hit 2. They had 3 more guys that hit 1. I mean,
they
just were stroking it from the outside.
The Wizards hit 7 for the game. The Sixers hit 14.
I think Brad was either scoreless or had 2 points in the first half and then erupted in the second half, but they just couldn't quite claw back.
Yeah, well, Sixers were up 17 and a 1.
I think that's 2 games in a row where they've only hit like 7 threes.
Yeah, well, when you match up those teams, I know the Wizards have been playing better. When you match up those teams when they Sixers are fully loaded, which they were, and the Wizards are without John Wall, the Sixers are a better team.
They're really good.
That's where you need John Wall.
Anyway, so you can't be real surprised they lost the game, but they lost by 13. And then you started hearing some rumors yesterday about Martin Gortat and how the Wizards were shopping him. And the trade deadline is tomorrow. What time is the deadline? Is it 4 or is it earlier than that?
It's either 3 or 4 p.m. I'll double check it.
Yeah.
And John Wall was all over the media yesterday. I saw him do an interview with Chris Miller from NBC Sports Washington.
He was responding to Gortat's tweets.
He went on ESPN on The Jump, which is with Rachel Nichols, and I think Paul Pierce maybe did the show yesterday, and responded to
everything
that we talked about.
Do you have some of the audio
that?
I'd love to hear. Oh, I saw clips of it, but I didn't listen to more than 5 or 10 seconds of it.
Well, you know, John Wall was
responding
mostly to the tweets that have been sent out by Gortat.
Because I read some quotes where he said really nice things about Gortat. He thought they got along really well, that he's like his best pick and roll guy, and he feeds him maybe more than anybody else.
I felt like he took a little bit of a shot saying like...
But then at the end he did, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he said, well, he gets more spoon-fed baskets than anybody in the
NBA. All right,
here
you go. Here's John.
For losers.
You got it, Matt?
Yeah, I'm trying.
No matter if he gets traded or stays with the team, he's always been a great teammate. He's been a great professional. He makes my job a lot easier. We had one of the best pick and roll tandems in the last couple of years. He sets screens. He knows how to get me open. He definitely catches the ball and finish plays. It's all up to the front office to make those decisions. Me as a franchise player and a leader, I just try to do my best to prepare myself and prepare my team to go out there and play. I think they know what's best for us to add a piece or not. We always make trades at some point in time, and I think they'll do the best job, what's best for our team.
Hmm.
Being so, political there.
Pretty diplomatic.
So Gortat sent a tweet out after they beat the Raptors that said it was a great team victory, and he put team in quotes, right?
And John saw it.
John saw it and responded. He said that this
he's
is what
responded
this,
LOL.
Yeah, this was his quote though when he was talking to NBC Sports Washington. He said, that was funny to me. That's a joke. If you want to say team win and put it in exclamation points or everybody eats and all that, I'm one of the top point guards that passes the ball more than anybody. And he basically said, if you have something to say, say it to my face.
Right.
Don't tweet it.
Something like that.
He says that, but I know this. I watched the pregame, which last night it was a TNT game, so it was a national TV game.
Yeah.
And it was Tuesday night, which is players only night on TNT, so they had all the ex-players calling the game and in the studio, and it was Shaq and Baron Davis. I can't remember the full cast that was in the studio. And all of them actually put a lot of stock into it, and they pointed out, look, John Wall may be one of the leading assist guys in the NBA, but he's also a very ball-dominant guy. And what Shaq said, he was talking about when he was playing, he said, well, when you play with a ball-dominant guy, even if you're getting assists, you just tend to stand around. You're standing around watching.
Right. Versus, but that's on the other guys, though.
It is a little bit on the other guys, but that's just a function of that type of play. He said, versus when that ball-dominant guy all of a sudden isn't on the court, you're having to move the ball and pass and move. And that's what we saw for the first five games. Now, last night, I think they ended up with 23 assists, which is their average when John Wall's in the lineup. But they had so many games where they're at 30 assists.
Yeah. They were probably a little gassed last night. But for me, I just, you know, who knows what the real relationship is there? I mean, we're seeing it play out in the media.
Right.
It can't be great.
The bigger concern to me.
So if you're in the front office for the Wiz, if you're Ernie, if you're Ted, how can you continue the season with two players that really don't get along?
I mean, well, if you have a deal that comes along and you can move Marchin.
I think they want to move him anyway with the contract coming up.
Right, you got to do your best.
Don't force a deal, because I guarantee you Cleveland right now wishes they didn't move Kyrie Irving. They lost to the Magic last night.
Well, it was
Cleveland lost to Orlando last night.
Kyrie threatened to fake an injury or to sit out the year.
So what? You make it work. Yeah. I heard somebody compare it to Kobe wanted out of the Lakers for a while.
Right.
Remember there were like one or two years where the Lakers stunk?
Mm-hmm. All I'm hoping for the Wizards,
they got Paul Gasol.
It's a little bit different. Those
again.
Are superstars. I mean, you're talking about Hall of Famers.
Well, my point is Kyrie Irving is a star, and Cleveland could have held on to him. Now, Gortat, not. My point is don't get fleeced. Don't force a deal.
Don't trade away Oubre for a rental. Don't trade away a young, versatile piece.
Yeah,
let's not do that. Let's keep that piece here.
But these guys keep backing off of what they have said. Beal with everybody eats and Gortat tweeting the team win. They're so defensive. Beal says, I keep telling everybody it's not a shot at John, especially not me. And I'm sure Gortat didn't mean anything by his tweet. We understand. Nobody's sitting here saying we're a better team without John. He does say that's just nonsense. I'll say it 1,000 times I have to. I'll go to every media outlet if I have to get that point across. We're not a better team without John.
Well, who knows what their discussions are privately? But how could John not take it that way when Gortat puts team in quotes?
Well, he has to take it that way.
Yeah, I mean,
and then
we're going
backs
to.
It up with
Anybody
everybody
is.
Eats. I felt like it was a shot immediately when I saw it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Gortat
weird.
Is a refreshing guy, but he's also a loose cannon. He'll kind of do what he wants and say what he wants. And I guess he tends to get away with it.
And he's been known to, like, favorite tweets where guys say things like, you should be playing more.
Right.
You know, you should be getting more buckets. They should pass you the ball more. So, you know, he's kind of a passive-aggressive kind of guy. I don't know what to make of it between John and Bradley. I've studied those guys' body language on the court a million times. They seem to get along great.
Beal and Gortat also said, and I get it when you win, but everybody played for each other. We enjoyed the game. The subtext to me is you're not enjoying it when John's there.
I understand. I agree.
And when we watch the games, part of the reason we were frustrated with this team when they've been losing to sub-500 teams is it looked like they didn't care. It looks like a lot of games that it looks like a pickup game, that they're not intense at the beginning of the games, that they're just not into it.
No doubt. They don't look like they're having a lot of fun.
Part of that, sometimes I put it on the crowd because
crowd's the worst.
The crowd at the hell we call it, the vault.
Capital One.
It's terrible, particularly at the beginning of games.
Yeah. Well, there's nobody there. People are the late-arriving crowd.
Gortat said he talked to Wall about it, and he said he thought it was all good.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, but Wall did that interview, and
I didn't think what Wall said was bad. I didn't think what he said was bad at all. I thought he was fairly political.
Yeah, except for when he says, if you have something to say, say it to my face.
Yeah, but that's just kind of a bully threatening thing. He's been saying that for a few weeks now.
Going back, though, to the bigger thing, and I've been saying this for weeks.
But he's obviously talking about Gortat.
I've been saying this for weeks about the
And possibly Beal.
Anybody. Yeah. Anybody on the team.
And Gortat fits the Stephen A. Smith thing, which Stephen A. Smith said the discontent in the locker room isn't Bradley Beal. It's other guys talking behind their back.
Right.
Which, so Gortat would fit that. But the bigger thing to me is the starting unit last year with John Wall was, by some metrics, the best in the NBA when the five guys were on the court together. And then this year, you look at the numbers, Gortat and Markieff Morris in particular, those two guys, their numbers are down. And Markieff's picked it up here of late. You look at last night, all right, Markieff scoring-wise was fine, but Markieff Morris had three rebounds and Marcin Gortat had two.
Yeah, they were gassed.
That's their front court.
I mean, when you get outscored by 17 in the first, you're a little gassed.
And clearly Joel Embiid is one of the best, if not the best center in the game right now. But that's your starting front court combined for five rebounds.
It's amazing that they got 39 as a team.
And Gortat,
all the guards had to get jump in there and get up.
We've seen this line from Gortat often this year, and I only played 17 minutes, but he's your starting center, 4 points and two rebounds.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised they lost the game based on the schedule. I mean, the Sixers had a couple nights off before that game. The Wiz didn't. But it's just, that's not, the story of that night is not the game and not the result. It's what Gortat said.
And Satoransky, who's filling in, has had some big games. I think he just came off like a 19-point game.
Career high, I believe.
So he gave you 6 points and three assists.
Right. So for all the people saying, well, they're better without John Wall, point to that line and point to that game. Now, part of it is it's the back end of two games
pass.
In 2 nights.
Give him a little
pass.
It.
And it also came on the heels of me saying, all
this is the NBA.
Do is win, anybody, win, win.
Are we seriously going to get bent out of this one dumb
game? No, not really. Like I said, that's not the story of the night.
Yeah.
The result
dumb game
is not the story of the night.
All the people that are getting excited, saying they're a better team without John Wall, it's bogus because 5-game sample size, yeah, it's nice when you had all those assists, but let's see what happens as they play Philly, Boston, who's their next opponent on Thursday, and the rest
another
of the
schedule. Another national TV game, by the way. All right, so you mentioned the Cavs. They got blown out again. They actually were up 21 in this game in Orlando. All right, Orlando without Aaron Gordon. Cavs up 21.
They couldn't stop Jonathan Simmons.
Just trying to win a game.
Right.
All right, there's so much going on in that locker room. There's so much dissension. And you're up 21, and you score 31 points in the second half combined. And you have 9 points in the fourth. They got outscored 24-9. They lose the game badly. They lose by 18. All right, so you blow a 21-point lead, you give up, you lose by 18. And now, you know, IT was terrible again. The guy just cannot score for whatever reason. He was 3-for-14. And now LeBron's talking about how he's not going to give up on his teammates. He's not going to leave. You know, he doesn't want to be traded this year. Who knows? But, man, it is awful in Cleveland, especially to lose that game when you're up 21. 116-98 is the final.
They allowed 65 in the second half.
Incredible.
They are dreadful defensively.
Bucks beat the Knicks, but the story here is Porzingis tore his ACL. He's done for the year.
Watch that play, too. It's fairly nondescript. I mean, he landed on it awkwardly, obviously, but that's amazing to me.
Something like that.
That a guy could just land that, you know, that kind of, wasn't that outrageous?
It wasn't
He's
violent.
He's had leg problems, though, this year. So it might have been something where it was weak. Because he's missed games this year.
Looked like anybody like rolls their ankle. It didn't look like any big deal. And then for his ACL to pop on that, wow.
Russell Westbrook had 34 last night. Paul George had 38. The Thunder went into Golden State and won by 20. Golden State was a 9.5-point favorite in that game. Lost the
Steph
game by 20.
Dylan and I had a fantasy team last night.
21. 2-for-9 from threes.
I don't know. That's not going to win
daily
fantasy.
For Steph.
That is poo. but again, that's the NBA, right, Cakesy?
You never know what to expect. Don't bet on the NBA. It'll burn you.
All right, let's check out the FanDuel team.
I mean, OKC loses to the Lakers on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yep.
And then they go into Golden State and win by 20.
Let's go to Fred in D.C. Fred, what's up, man? You're all on the Junkies. Good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, Junkies. How's it going this morning?
Great. How are you?
Great. Do you remember when Nene didn't secure that rebound? I think it may be against could have been against Indiana. Go tie through him under the bus. Last year, go tie through the reserves under the bus. They mm-hmm. were terrible, but you keep running to the media. And anybody that thinks the Wizards were a better team without John Wall, it's no way. Yeah, they move the ball around. Yeah, Wall is ball dominant. But so is Russell Westbrook. But he gets assists also. And the thing is that the Wizards this year with the Cleveland in decline, the Raptors, they can beat the Raptors. I don't even think they can beat Boston. But they're just going to have to go play ball. They haven't done anything, and they like to run to the media. But, you know, I just think they have enough. If they, you know, last night, Philly, their starters played 30-something. Everybody played at least 30 minutes. The Wizards coming off of back-to-back just didn't have enough gas, I think. But they want to need Wall.
Do you want to see them trade Gortat?
Before this came out this morning, was thinking that, you know, if they just stood pat, they had enough talent maybe even to come out of the East. But if they could get something good, and if it's drama, then, you know, so be it. But, you know, nobody actually 100% knows what goes on behind the scenes. But it's not like Gortat hasn't done this before.
Right.
Yeah, the name that's popping up is DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan, but what do they have to include to make that work financially?
That would probably include an Oubre.
Yeah, someone
and
young.
Probably a pick, which I just can't see the Wiz parting.
And
haven't
they said at
first
least,
rounder?
Aren't people reporting that they're trying to do a deal where they're not giving up a pick and they're not getting some big bloated salary for years to come? So,
what's DeAndre Jordan's contract?
Is it like $24 million? I think.
Perfect opportunity to do your Ernie Grunfeld impression.
I can't. I'm not inspired.
I'm the trade deadline tomorrow at 3 p.m.
And
Jordan
last, but,
has, let's see, next year left $24.1 million.
Just 1 year left?
He's under contract through 18-19, which is next season.
Yeah.
He's a free agent in.
It's not that you're not taking on that much money.
He's a better player.
Yeah, and last but not least, Caps, big winners last night. Beat Columbus on the road, 3-2. So.
Backy with the game winner.
Backy
and his
game
200th
winner.
Career goal.
And they started out down, right? Because I was listening to that as I was driving around.
The Caps always give up the first goal.
Yeah.
So it was a split night for the locals.
Yes.
It's a hard way to eat that way consistently.
It is. Yeah. But they got the win, and they get the Blue Jackets again on Friday.
We will talk to the head coach, Barry Trotz, at 8 o'clock here on the Junkies.
So yesterday I did a lot of running around. Thanks everybody for all the birthday wishes and everything. Had to meet my mother for, I guess we did a lunch. I had chicken noodle soup that she made at her house.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. And then we went out to go see a movie. We went to go see The Greatest Showman, I believe is the name of it. That's the movie about P.T. Barnum, and we were all kind of goofing on it because it's a musical.
Yes.
And I've told you before.
Sorry, Hugh Jackman.
I have a softness for musicals, but like at the theater. You know what I mean? Like you go see like a play, like a live musical.
Sure.
And I think I've even told you this before. It's kind of embarrassing to admit this. But when I go to a musical, it could be a high school musical. It could be a local production. When people sing at a musical, it's different than a concert. I get like choked up. I have to
get
fight
emotional.
Back. I get I'm like a Pavlovian dog.
Mm-hmm.
It touches something in me that's weird and I'm embarrassed by it. Same thing happened to me yesterday.
Tugs the heartstrings.
This movie is weird in the sense that it's half musical, half it's not. And they start breaking into song.
Right.
And like Zac Efron's in it. And you're like, what?
Right.
And I get when they start singing Cakes in a musical format, I get emotional.
Grabs you.
I become the softest human being in the country. And I can't explain it. I'm embarrassed by it. I feel less than, you know, I hate to say this, but I feel like less than a man. I just sit there and I just want to start crying. I don't
know
why.
Was there something thematic or is it just the music?
It's a vulnerable spot for you.
I don't know.
Was there something thematic or was it just the music? Because if the,
well,
was there something accompanying that was sad or touching in the movie?
I've been talking to my brother's a professional musician. I was talking to him about it.
Yeah.
I talked to my mother about it. My brother says, well, you know, in those places. My mother said something like, you know, in plays, there are like these emotional highs and lows,
right.
And they are toying with your emotions. So
I'll tell you, there's a show which I know none of you guys watched, very popular, wins awards, which I do watch with my wife, This Is Us. It will manipulate your feelings. Like the last episode, and they were hyping it up during the Super Bowl. Watch it after the Super Bowl. Extend the minutes. Now I watched it on Monday.
All of the ads were about a guy in a fire. I just couldn't.
Because it was two seasons. It was two seasons of How Did He Die?
Yeah.
Because it's a show which uses flashbacks, flash forwards.
So he's not eliminated from the show because they do the flashbacks.
No, they're doing different. What was that movie, Boyhood? Remember that movie, Boyhood?
Yes.
It's similar to that. So
where the kid grew up in like 2 hours or whatever.
Right, so it's showing different stages of life. So you see. Essentially, the guy that won the award that was in the O.J. Simpson movie, I forget his name.
Doesn't matter.
You see him as a kid, you see him as an adult, you even see him as an elder.
Yeah.
But that show manipulates you, and I'm sure there's music, like a score there, but it's the plot. Was there a plot that accompanied the music?
Of course.
Well, so the plot might have got you, too.
No, but it's every it time. You don't understand. I could go to a local high sing. School production. When I see... people sing. Like when I see a effing musical, I start. It makes me. I basically
even
start
if it's
crying.
A faster song, like a happy upbeat song,
it just gets to me, Jason. I don't know. It's a bizarre thing. I'm embarrassed by it, and I just
maybe you need therapy for it.
Sure. It's embarrassing.
I got emotional. I saw Tom Wilson punch Josh Anderson last night in Columbus. It was a good moment.
Really?
Yeah. He pummeled.
You're emotional in a good way, though.
Yeah,
you felt good.
But yes. Here's the thing I don't understand. If I go to a concert, I can say great concert. It doesn't affect me like that. Not at all. If there's something about a musical, it's weird. Anyway, I thought the movie was good. I totally enjoyed it. I mean, Hugh Jackman, and I didn't know who the female
lead
was.
Were there sad parts to the movie beyond the music?
The music, it wasn't even necessarily sad. It could be happy. It's not making you cry because it's sad. Mm. It's something emotional about it. I don't know how to explain it.
Not going to make you cry.
And This Is Us was excellent on Sunday.
Was it?
It's the father-son stuff. Like, this guy went for the first time to where his dad was buried, I guess. And then he just talks and stuff like that that'll get you.
Well, I guess maybe, I don't know, the way my mother explained it to me, that, you know, in these plays, they're all...
Of course.
They're always that kind of those kind of elements, you know, father son or father daughter. Yep. There was father to father and his or husband and wife stuff.
Michelle Williams is in that.
I didn't know who it was. I looked it up later and saw that it was her. For a while I thought it was Renee Zellweger. I didn't know cuz she looks different now. You don't even know what she looks like.
I don't like being emotionally manipulated by TV shows or movies. That's why I tend to lean towards big budget blockbuster.
You're like, shoot 'em up and explode cakes. You're a bit of a liar because I remember you saying that one of your favorite shows for a while. I haven't heard you talk about it for a while.
Yeah,
was Undercover Boss. That is a straight manipulation.
Okay, that's first
every
of
time
all,
they manipulate you to fall for somebody
all,
who gets
classic,
a bunch of money at the end of it.
Classic. Turn your brain off and just waste 30 minutes watching TV.
But doesn't it emotionally get
of
you?
Of course, because it's designed to do it at the end when the boss comes in and the person's working 90 hours.
Well,
a week,
I'm with you.
And all of a sudden, he gives them 100K. You feel good about it.
I don't like being emotionally manipulated either. Believe me, I don't like it. But I did enjoy the movie.
So did you actually have tears streaming down your face?
No, I fight them because you don't understand. I don't like to cry. So that's why I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But they kind of well up.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just happens.
Yeah, but the theater's dark. No one's going to see.
Fighting off
no
the creepers.
Just let it go.
I don't. I fight it.
I'm with you.
Single time.
You're normal male. We all fight it.
I'm not that comfortable with that.
Here's where
I was by myself watching This Is Us, and I felt like the creepers coming on.
I fight
it. My wife wasn't around. My kids weren't around. I'm just watching the middle of the day.
I wish I was a good crier.
Start thinking about my pops.
I let it go. Every Christmas Eve, I just let it go.
The movies that always get me are the ones based on like real-life military campaigns, like Lone Survivor, where they start showing the montage at the end of the real guys who actually passed away. That's when your boy turns on the waterworks. I just can't help myself. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I'm helpless. I'm just a
I don't even put myself in a situation to see those
Bobby
movies.
Bobby Goo.
Get the creeper from your stupid BB gun Christmas movie that you
Christmas
guys
story?
Love?
No.
So when you cry on Christmas Eve, is it what? Because you're watching a certain movie? Or is it because...
Yeah, I've told this story before. Every Christmas Eve when the girls go... Now, the girls are older, so they stay up later, but... When they were younger, they would go to sleep, you know, we'd put them to sleep at 9, 10 o'clock, get all the presents up, Teresa goes to bed, and it's just me and my glass of wine watching some sort of a Christmas movie.
Right. And you
whether
just start
it's Christmas
crying
Story
by yourself
or
every
Christmas
night.
Carol.
You know what it'll get you to?
Yeah, just start thinking about how, you know, kids are getting older and just time passing.
Very emotional
moment.
Melancholy Christmas.
Christmas Eve, very
you know,
emotional.
What's a good one? And I haven't watched it in a couple years, but Family Man, Nicolas Cage.
Oh,
that'll get you.
Well, so is Family Stone, which also is a Christmas movie. At the very end, when they show the picture of the mom, Diane Keaton, on the in the frame on the wall, and Rachel McAdams starts to cry. Oh, I'm done.
Haven't seen that movie.
I'm done. Dunsky.
But Family Man, I think, was one of the real catalysts for my wife and I having more than one kid.
Because
it was like it came in like a pivotal time.
Yeah, because there was a time there where you guys, the first one was so difficult for her, you thought about not having another kid.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people go through that when you don't have kids, and the first one you're like, wow, this thing's throwing me for a, this whole thing is
no, but I thought it was the actual delivery that was traumatic.
Yeah, yeah, it was tough. Yeah. Family Man kind of eased through the next.
Really?
Into the second and third.
Right, well, it's a great movie.
That's because they're sitting in the airport and he's talking about.
It's a really good movie.
You know what else? It's the music, though. The music in the movies really gets you.
See, I'm telling you, the music. There's something about the music.
Oh, it's definitely the music.
Well, when you throw in a Hans Zimmer score, shout out to Kevin McCarthy, it's always going to be better.
Sure.
So then I was doing a run around, and then I got home, and then a normal day occurred, right? And I had to drive my daughter to dive, whatever, my other daughter. She had practice out in Virginia. And I noticed, I'm sure you guys have had the same issue, we're plowing through windshield wiper fluid this time of year. Just plowing through it. And I had the new car from BMW Fairfax. And I got to tell you, I've told you before, I don't know how to do anything. But one thing I do know how to do is put windshield wiper fluid in. Yeah. It's one of the few things. So this is a new, 2018. Can you find the windshield? I put this on Twitter yesterday.
I saw the picture.
And everyone's goofing on me. I could not, and this is not a bit. I know where it is now because they pointed it out. I could not find where to put the windshield wiper fluid because it's usually in the front right, like near the headlight. There's a little thing.
And this is a newer car, right?
Newer car. Couldn't find where to put it.
Did you look at the handbook?
No, I didn't have time for that. I had to run. Oh. So I just put it on Twitter. Anybody could shoot. Somebody tell me where the dumb thing is. I was gonna tweet the send the picture to Mike Walker.
Right.
But I was too embarrassed.
I'm just looking at it now. It has to be one of those two tanks on the right hand side as you're looking straight.
When you found it, did it have a little fluid thing?
It's not cakes. You would have blown yourself up.
Let me go back. You just saw the little symbol.
There's the blue cap on the left.
I never saw that. But that's what it is.
Now I've got it.
That's what it is.
Yeah, the other one of them's probably oil, and the other one I'm not sure what.
No, I think these are like. The thing with that, if you take it off when it's hot, you'll like light yourself on fire. Okay. You'll burn yourself. You'll scald yourself to death. You don't turn those off.
None of us have a future as car mechanics.
No.
Just to let everybody know. No. Just to be clear
Couldn't
on
find
that.
It. Do you see the picture? Could you find it?
Well, not
he
there.
Just told me that it's a blue cap. I mean, you just look around.
I would have just looked at the handbook, but you said you didn't have time.
I didn't have time. I was running around. I had to get my daughter. We were already late.
Yeah.
So I just threw it out there. Hey, somebody. And then, of course, 9,000 people told me, revoke your man card, dude. whatever. You haven't heard that 6 million times?
Of course. We've all heard it a lot.
Right.
But, over the years.
Anyway, it was great. Great birthday. Appreciate everybody, all the shout-outs and everything. We had our silly chocolate raspberry mousse cake that I always get from my favorite bakery. Mom made me a silly lemon meringue pie. Look at that lemon meringue pie.
I do like me some lemon meringue.
Look at that,
solid.
Cakes. That.
Looks tasty. Looks very good.
Look at that, Jay. That's pretty good.
Is there any extra?
Yeah.
Could have hooked your boys.
Did you want me to bring some in?
I love lemon meringue.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
But your go-to is apple?
I like it. Well, I mean, who doesn't like apple? But, yeah, I like apple and lemon meringue. Boston cream. I'm making all of it.
I seriously think I gained 5 pounds yesterday because I went to the theater, and, of course, I had to get my popcorn. I had a large popcorn, lemon meringue pie, and chocolate raspberry mousse.
It's a lot. It's your birthday. Indulge.
How much was the... Oh, your mom paid for your ticket.
Mom did pay for it.
Oh, she helped you.
I let her pay for it.
That must have been $40.
I think it was 50.
Yeah.
I think it was 50. Because it was $20 for the tickets, and then my dumb food...
Yeah, popcorn was what?
Actually, that was only 16. So I think it was 20, but I think it was 36.
So if I did the movies where you saw it, I would have definitely gone to Bonefish right after and got my favorite dessert. Is that dessert they have with the raspberry on the chocolate with the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Raspberry's so good.
It's amazing that
raspberry
underrated. Known for a million things. The number one thing I think of is their dessert. But that's right outside that theater.
The one at the Wall Chapel.
Yeah,
the Regal. I don't know how they keep. I don't know how they pay the electricity in there. They have probably 15 theaters. I think literally my mother and I were the only people there.
Well, it's a different story on the weekends. Go there on a Friday night, and the place is jumping.
Packed.
And every one of those restaurants.
Why don't they just keep it open in the evenings then?
Every one of those restaurants from Bonefish to Red Robin and everything in between.
I'm sure.
Packed.
But why would you keep it open if you're only servicing like
five people? Dog DJs like us could go see movies without anybody else sitting around us.
Yeah.
Silly.
It's not worth it.
Because every once in a while.
$10,000
every once in a while you get a Star Wars where everybody lines up.
I'm sure they've figured it out.
It up.
I guess they have.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on anything? Remember, Barry Trotz, head coach of the Capitals, will join us at 8 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.